Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
Can we be self-controlled all by ourselves? No, we need God's grace. And there's something about the bearing of an older woman that should set the example of self-control. Self-control is saying no to myself. It's bringing my emotions under the mastery of my will. Do you let your whole life be governed by your emotions? Well, no, you wouldn't even be here today if you did that. But many of us go way too far on being governed by our emotions. So let me give you a very simple example, which explains the difference between wanting and willing. Wanting is a matter of emotion, desire. It's perfectly natural. It's perfectly human. We're full of wants and desires. If you've got any sense at all, you are not going to eat everything you want. If you've got any sense at all, when the alarm clock goes off in the morning, you don't wait to feel good about getting out of bed. Well, I just don't really feel good about it, you know. What's that got to do with it? You will to get up. It doesn't make any difference whether you want to or not. You put your feet on the floor. We do it all the time. We do all sorts of things. And yet, there's something very distorted and skewed about our ideas of what happens in the spiritual world. Well, you know, I really don't feel, if I don't feel good about God, if I'm mad at God and I just don't really feel like praying, or I don't feel like going to church, or when I go to church, I just don't feel like singing, wouldn't it be hypocritical to sing or to pray? Well, I think if we went by that, we'd do precious little singing and praying. Because it really doesn't depend on our feelings. Jesus demonstrates for us what it means to be strong-willed. A woman said to me here today, well, I'm a very strong-willed person. So I pointed out that I think there's a very important difference between being strong-willed and being stubborn. I hear women all the time tell me, well, I've got a strong-willed 2-year-old. Probably what she means is rebellious and stubborn. But Jesus demonstrated strength of will in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, not my will, thine be done. And when my husband wills to do something and I will to do the opposite, something has got to give. When the will of God crosses the will of man, somebody has to die. Am I prepared to die? If equal affection cannot be, let the more loving one be me. Write that down now, you wives. I've got that taped onto my typewriter. Just those two lines from W.H. Auden, and I know W.H. Auden knows English grammar better than to say, let the more loving one be me. But he wanted it to rhyme and he wanted it to be memorable, so there it is. If equal affection cannot be, let the more loving one be me. The older women are to teach the younger women to be self-controlled. Sir John Paterson, a great English prison reformer, prayed, O God, make us masters of ourselves, that we may be the servants of others. Make us masters of ourselves that we may be the servants of others. A dear friend of mine whose husband was a pastor for 18 years in one church and went off with the woman who was in charge of the women's meet and women's work in that church, abandoning his wife and his 2 children. The wife called me not long ago in tears and she said, you know, the people in the church are really not doing very much for us anymore. She said, they've just sort of forgotten about us. And I said, I'll call her Susie. I said, Susie, it's been a year, you know. You're expecting too much of these people. I said, they have their own burdens, and there are a whole lot of other disasters that have probably happened in the church since then. They have to reach out to all these other people. They can't be hovering over you and surrounding you and propping you up forever. It's your turn to start propping somebody else up. Oh, my goodness, you know, she said, Elizabeth, are you telling me I'm supposed to be giving out to somebody else when I don't have anything to give and I am still in such pain myself? And I said, yes, that's what I'm telling you. Isaiah 58:10 says, if you pour yourself out for the hungry, then the Lord will meet your needs and you will become like a watered garden. Self-controlled and pure. Make us masters of ourselves that we may be the servants of others. And as long as we are preoccupied with ourselves, we will never qualify to be servants of others. That poor missionary that I told you about was preoccupied with herself and her self-image and her notions of what God would give her to do, which were so radically different from what he was really offering to her. The older women are to teach the younger women to be busy at home or to stay home. I want to do everything in my power to encourage you mothers to stay home. If you're not able to stay home now because either you don't have a husband to provide for your family or your husband is insisting that you work, then I would strongly suggest that you pray and see if God might not have another answer. I've had some wonderful letters from women who never even thought about the possibility that God might have a different answer. And God has had one, and it has changed her life. Those of you who are staying at home and feeling a little bit restless and edgy and you're being criticized and your friends are saying, well, how long are you going to stay home? I mean, your kids are in school now, and don't you think you can go out and get a job? It doesn't say that the older women are to teach the younger women to stay home as long as their kids are under five. It just says to stay home. And my mother was always at home. It wasn't that we were so eager to share with mother when we came home. That word share did not occur in our vocabulary in our family. All we wanted to know when we came bursting in the front door and threw our books down on the bench into the hall and said, we're home, was that she was there and she'd answer. And we'd head for the kitchen to try to get cookies or milk or whatever there might be, and then straight out the back door to play with the kids. We didn't want to see mother necessarily, but we wanted to know where mother was. We didn't have a whole lot of sharing in our family. Mother was there where mother belonged. And when mother died, the six of us were all able, by God's amazing arrangements, really was quite incredible, we were all able to get to the funeral in Pennsylvania. And in chronological order, each of the six of us gave about a two-minute little talk about something that mother had taught us, by example. And my oldest brother, the first thing he said was, mother was always there. And all of us are so grateful for that. Older women are to teach the younger women to stay home. Now, if your case is an exception, it's not my business. So please don't come up to me and describe your case, which is an exception, because all I know to do is to tell you what God says. I'm not going to get into what God doesn't say. If you think your case is an exception, then you take it to Him and you look at it in the light of the cross. Take it to the foot of the cross. Look at it in the presence of God, and then talk with Him about whether it is an exception. To be kind. You know, I was not born kind. I could be anything but. I am anything but very often. And I know that I am not in a position to be teaching any of these things, especially something so simple as kindness. If I had to teach it on the basis of what comes naturally, it doesn't. And I need the grace of God. But I do want to be that older woman that teaches the younger woman to be kind. I have never forgotten when I was a college student, there was a great uprising against the president of the college. And there were terrible things said about him, and he was being treated in a dreadful way. And when we went to English class that day, our teacher was an older woman who died of cancer just a few months later. I don't think any of us had any idea that she was ill, even. She was just that beautiful example of a calm, peaceful, joyous Christian woman. And before she started the class that day, she said, "What has happened to the milk of human kindness?" And I was convicted, because I had been saying just exactly the same kind of nasty things everybody else had been saying. And then here's the worst part of all: to be subject to their husbands. To be subject to their husbands. And I would like to ask you, why in the world should I be subject to a fallible sinner named Lars Grin? Because he's always right? Because he's so much more spiritual than I am? Because he's a whole lot bigger than I am and he can make me? Because he's a lot better looking than I am? Because he's more intelligent than I am? That's not what the Bible says. It says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord." Not subject to Lars Grin as to Lars Grin, but subject to this man whom God has appointed to be my head as to the Lord. My subjection to Lars Grin is my obedience to God. "Whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint, thy servant is ready to do." The specifics for women, women's role in evangelism, are in this little passage. To love their husbands, to be subject to their husbands, in order that the word of God be not maligned, so that no one will malign the word of God.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.